mom. And although they didn't know or they didn't mean to hurt my feelings, that label sticks, right? That label stuck with me. I remember the kids in the neighborhood. I grew up in Missouri, and so the sport of the state in Missouri is baseball. And I remember announcing the baseball games, our little neighborhood, we'd play with football games and stuff. And I'd be like the announcer because I was too little to play. And I remember calling out the plays of, pitch right down the middle, hit to third base. Oh, and he gets to first base just perfectly. They couldn't make the pass or something like that, right? And I remember doing that and it just being incredibly annoying to everyone else because my voice was like, so high like this. And they would all just tell me to shut up, right? And so I stuck with that label, squeaky, for a really long time. Until I went to middle school. Whenever I went to middle school, I told you guys a few weeks ago, I kind of had this experience where all my friends who were in elementary school, which I had a decent portion, we weren't in the same team in my middle school. And so that means that we didn't have the same classes, we didn't do the same activities, and I didn't get to see the people or hang out with people that I actually knew. I was around people that were completely unfamiliar to me. And so what that created was kind of an environment for me to become a loner. And so in middle school, I stuck alone. I didn't hang out with anyone for quite a while. Until really about eighth grade, I kind of started getting the social cues of what it looked like to be in middle school. But for a very long time, I was by myself. I didn't have many friends, and don't like look at me and be like, oh, that's sad. Because by the time I got in high school, my label changed again. By the time I hit high school in ninth grade, I started hanging out with a group of friends, not really because of who I am, but because of who they were. I started to be associated more as this label of the cool kid. The cool kid. And it wasn't that they were like troublemaker cool kids. They went to church and stuff, and you know, they were really cool. We went to church camp and did a ton of fun stuff together. But generally kind of the school and the people, because they were funny, because according to everyone else, they looked the right ways, did the right things. They were associated as the cool kid group. And because I kind of hung out with some of the people in that group, I kind of took on that label as well. Now here's the thing. Labels, they can be bad. They can be good. They can be anything. But the truth is, whatever label you guys feel like you've been given, if that's a good thing or a bad thing, or maybe it's a mix of both, that is not the label that God gives you. That is not the label that God gives you. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a person in Scripture who interacted with Jesus, and Jesus gave this lady a completely different label than what she had been given by society. And it changed her life. It flipped her perspectives of everything that was going on. Okay, and so we're going to check that out. And so if you guys have Bibles, great. If you don't have Bibles at your areas, then I encourage you to go grab some Bibles from these Bible carts. We're going to look up a passage in the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 5. Mark is the second gospel in the New Testament. The New Testament is a lot smaller than the Old Testament, which means that it's going to be much more towards the back than in the front. Mark, chapter 5. You guys have your phone apps. That's totally cool. Verse 24. Mark 5, 24. When you get there, help a friend out next to you. Also, throw your Bible up in the air and put it back down and let me know that you're there. Mark 5, 24. Well, now you're not there anymore. Mark 5, 24. I ask myself that sometimes. All right, Mark 5, 24. Once you get there, you can help a friend out. Put it up in the air really quick so I know you're there. Awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, thank you, thank you. That helps me out. All right, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start reading here. Just a little background on this, guys. We're kind of towards the beginning of the book of Mark. Mark is one of the Gospels, which means it's a book all about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is a time in the Gospel whenever Jesus is kind of starting his ministry. But he's beginning to be known amongst the nation and amongst the area as a healer, as a person who provides miracles, as a person who does things that are not natural for people to do, okay? And he's walking into a town and a large crowd starts to form, and that's where we pick up in verse 24. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And I'm going to stop before we get into verse 27 here. In this time, and I want you to visualize it's different now than 2,000 years ago. In this time, yes, they had doctors, and yes, they had some medicines, but they didn't have all the answers for everything. Okay, and I know today we don't have all the answers for every sickness, but back then it was even more so. There were just some things when people got sick sometimes where they would look at them and they said, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know how to fix you, and I don't have the medicines to make you better. And that would have been the case for this woman. She was sick in some way, and that doctors didn't know how to heal her. Doctors didn't know exactly what was wrong with her. And because they couldn't heal her, and because they didn't know what was wrong with her, what they oftentimes did with cases of like leprosy or things like that in this time, is they would take them and they would put them in their own like sick bubble, like their own quadrant of the town, away from everybody else. Because if you can't cure them, at least we don't want to get everybody else sick, right? And so what they would do is they would put them in the little areas with all the other sick people. A quarantine, essentially, yeah. I mean, what bigger label is there than to give someone the sick label and say, you can't live like everybody else. You can't be with everyone else. And you can't be normal. You have to go live with everyone else who has that same exact label. And that was just the time that they lived in. And likely this lady, this woman was dealing with those exact same things. And she wanted to be healed. She spent all of her money on it. And now she comes to Jesus for healing. I'm going to keep reading. Check this out. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I touch his clothes, I will be healed. She believed in that. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power that had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what she had done to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Now there's a few things that I want to point out here that goes from verse 27 all the way to 34 here. First off, the unremarkable power of Jesus, right? That she simply touches his clothes and is healed, right? And if we doubt ever that, you know, Jesus was, I mean, that is direct evidence, the power that Jesus held, right? That healing can come simply through touching like the corner of his cloak. How cool, huh? How crazy cool. So that's the first thing I want to point out. The next thing I want to point out is that the first word that Jesus turned around and said to her, I think completely changes everything, okay? The first word is what? In verse 34, daughter. The first word that Jesus uses, it wasn't like crazy lady or sick lady. It was daughter. I think that's such an interesting thing that Jesus chooses to say to her as the first word. And that word, I believe, changes her perspective and brings not only physical healing, but emotional healing, okay? And that's the other thing I really want to point out, is that, sure, she was physically healed. Like, the miracle, like, made her better. Whatever sickness was there is gone now. But I think whenever he labels her daughter, and not sick person, and not weird person, whenever he calls her daughter, there's not only physical healing, but there's emotional healing. Because imagine, and I know you guys can resonate with this, the emotional scarring that takes place whenever she took on the label sick person, or annoying person, or loner, or squeaky. Some labels can really hurt. And I'm sure her label did as well. But God gave her a different label. So here's the thing. God didn't just give her a label. God and Jesus would respond to every single person the same exact way as they did to her. Daughter or son, that's your label from God. Child of God. Now, you might hold different kind of labels around school or your family or whatever, and maybe some of those labels are even good. But the truth is, God doesn't call you cool kid or, best soccer player ever or smelly. God doesn't call you any of those things. God simply calls you child. And that's the label that I want you guys to pick up today, okay? Whatever label you've been given from your friends or from school or whatever, I want you to know only one person has the right to label you, and that is God, okay? That is God. And only one person has the right to label others. So if ever you feel the need to let someone know that they're stupid, or if ever you feel the need to let someone know that they're not that athletic, I want you to know only one person has the right to label, and only one label stands true amongst them all, and that is that they're a child of God. So whatever you label them, that's not their label. That's not what they are. They're a child of God. And so I hope today, not only your perspective about your own label can be changed, but your perspective of how you label other people can be challenged as well. Now, you guys are going to go ahead, you're going to jump into groups, and I think it's interesting that today our printers are down, so you guys were writing your name tags out instead of getting them printed. If you had the chance to walk in this room and someone said, hey, put whatever you want on this label, label yourself, I want you guys today to be challenged to stop giving yourself the labels that everyone else gives you and to pick up the label child of God, okay? I want you to pick up that label instead and see how that changes everything. See how that flips your perspectives, okay? Now you guys are going to go and jump into group time, and I know girls, you guys have a big group, but just dive in, make what you can of it. If you need to split into two, you can. But we're just going to have some group time. I'll get back up in 15 minutes, pray for us, and then we'll go for the week, okay? Sound good? All right. Have fun in group time.